strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 9th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm joined today by Phil. How you doing, Phil?
What's going on, Taryn? Always nice to talk to you. And I love just talking about the beginning of the Big Brother game because we're really getting to know all these people for the first time. We're getting to like really examine all these relationships. And over the last couple of days, we've been learning a lot more about these people. And now I'm really excited to just dig into everything that happened yesterday.
Yes. Yes. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 10 in the house. And we just, after the flippiness of the previous day, this was a much calmer day. But still have some pieces moving around here. We started the day right away with Beth and Jed out by the hot tub talking about the flip and how they were both thinking about it overnight. And they've both decided we shouldn't do it.
Yeah, they decide that, you know, voting out Josh is the best strategy moving forward, just because Rohan is also the one that told Jed about the whole debacle with Josh wanting to throw up Jed, or yes, Josh wanting Austin to throw up Jed for the HOH. So they think that, you know, Rohan might be someone who, like, Rohan told them this information, so he's a good person to stick around. And Josh is not that great at the game, so they know, let's just take out Josh this week.
Yeah, and apparently, like, yesterday, Jed was pretty pissed at the idea that that Josh was trying to get him on the block, and Beth had, like, walked into a conversation where he was, like, going off on Josh, and she didn't realize that that was why he was doing it, that he was told this information. She's like, man, Jed's a savage. But yes, Jed is very much on board, especially given the information he received from Ro. So definitely good on Ro to have given that information. He's going to explain in a little bit exactly why he did and why he gave it to Jed. We get a little bit more information from this conversation as well. First is that they talk about the teams, and I've loved this quote ever since I heard Beth say it. But she said that she said like we said before, meaning that, like, when they put this alliance together, and maybe this is why the show is so hesitant to show the beginning of the Sunsetter Alliance. But I'm pretty sure that, like, when they formed this alliance, the sort of thesis was, the teams don't matter. It's a trick. They're trying to trick us. It's just about getting a majority together. You have to make an alliance with the other side. Like that. That's what you need to do.
Yeah, like, congrats, Beth. You figured out Big Brother. Like, yeah, the twist is not going to be forever. But I also think that she might be a little bit quick on the draw, I think, to say, like, oh, like, the teams are going to go away pretty quickly. I think they're going to keep the teams around a little while longer. They're saying, like, oh, after three episodes, the teams are going to be done. Like, I think we're going to have these for the next couple of weeks. And I think they should really start planning accordingly, as opposed to just, like, waiting to jump the gun on the teams being done and then the Sunsetters being able to take over, you know?
Jed is also going to mention to Beth that he says, well, Jed, just so you know, and he's doing so in a sort of, like, joking, kind of, like, flirty manner. But he's saying that just so you know, I was the one that got you into the Sunsetters. I was the one that vouched for you. Everybody else was a little skeptical, and I was like, nah. We should pull in Beth. So just so you know, you do owe me your life in this game. Do nothing crazy. And she was like, wow, I didn't know that. And it did seem to actually, like, hit her a little bit. And she brings it up later in the day as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also a great strategy to just say something like that. Just remind her, I'm the person who brought you in. So I think it's a great move. And I think moving forward, Beth is going to remember that for sure.
Mm. So Kiefer is going to have a conversation with Toya. They also have a moment where they're like, after thinking about it, I don't feel like the flip is a good idea. Toya agrees. And Kiefer lets her know that he feels like it's probably best for Josh to leave anyway, because I'm feeling uncomfortable with how he's been treated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think overall, like, they're starting to kind of realize that, especially just from what's happened, like, the seasons before with bullying and everything like that. I think they're starting to understand the gravity of, like, maybe we're taking it too far. But I also think, like, Toya is just not having any of Josh's stuff. I think Toya is kind of over it. I think a lot of the house is kind of over it. So they're trying to find the balance of, like, basically saying in their heads, Josh is out of the house. Josh is not a factor in the season anymore. We can move forward. But also trying to, treat him like a human being, like a person, like they should, and not just be a total, bad person to him. Yeah. I don't know.
someone from hell, maybe. Yeah. So Kiefer is going to use the veto on himself, of course, in the veto ceremony, and Ro is going to go up as the replacement nominee. After the ceremony, Ro is going to go and talk with Kyle. And he has a lot of thoughts, some interesting thoughts. He says that he feels like they probably can't trust Toya. Feels like Toya's playing both sides. That she, they did approach Toya to join their alliance, but they haven't gotten anything back from her since. So probably, good time to say, I don't think she's into us. He thinks that they should maybe, instead of pursuing, Toya, maybe they should try to approach Austin and Brayden. And, this is what happens when you turn down alliances when you don't need to, is that they'll go to the people they should have been going to in the first place.
Yeah, I think today we're starting to see, Kyle and Rohan really trying to set up the battalion, set up their team to almost create the counter alliance to Jed and Tyze. But I think it's kind of too little too late. I think at this point, it's still in the beginning of the game, but also I think Jed and Ty have done a much better job of like setting up their alliance. And now Kyle and Rohan are kind of just playing catch up at this point.
Mm-hmm. He also thinks that Jed and Ty, they could be fighting over Beth a little bit. Just a little bit. It's possible. There might be a little bit of jealousy going on. And I mentioned this last night, but I heard Ro say this, and it put the previous conversation into a slightly different light. If you want to interpret it in that way, where, Jed, after a night of cuddling with Ty and a day of having kissed Jed, the next morning, Jed is all of a sudden telling Beth about how, hey, I'm the one that brought you into the alliance, just to let you know. Nobody else did, including Ty. And Ty came to me. He was like, I couldn't sleep at all last night. I don't know if that was an issue, it's possible that Ro is on something.
Yeah, I think this is something that everyone is kind of speculating, both inside of the house and outside of the house. But I wonder, how much of it is actually real between Jed and Ty, between, are they actually, beefing and feuding between Beth. I don't know if it's actually amounting in a real thing. And I think it's kind of everyone just trying to, speculate on just drama to just, entertain themselves, but also, maybe stake a claim that, they might have some tension or something like that.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure if it's 100% the case.
My opinion is that there's not any tension between them. It's more like Jed. It would like to, if he could. And he'll test the waters, but if Beth goes in the other direction, I think he'll be fine. I don't think there'll be anything there. And it does seem like Beth may go in the other direction. So, I honestly don't think this is going to be an issue, but, it wouldn't surprise me if Jed had a little bit of a crush on Beth. But I also think Jed probably had a little bit of a crush on Austin as well. Like, you know, he mentioned that he was going to go into the house and flirt. So I don't think this is very serious at all, but it's funny.
Yeah, I think it's more of kind of just a flirting thing. And I don't think this is going to end any alliance or anything like that.
Yeah. Speaking of Beth, Ro and Kyle agree that Beth gives them nothing, that they flirt with Beth, but they don't get anything from her. They no game, nothing. They cannot trust her. They cannot approach her. Ro mentions that he feels like Jed is an emotional player. He thinks other people are going to catch on to this, but that's why he told Jed that Jed was the one that Josh was trying to get up on the block, because he felt like Jed was the kind of player that would react emotionally to that kind of information. And again, it seems like his read was pretty spot on. Jed is definitely a more emotional player than Ty, at the very least, based on what we've seen. He leads a little bit more with his emotions. Ty is a much more reserved and controlled person. Not that Jed, I wouldn't necessarily call Jed an emotional player, but in comparison to Ty, he definitely reacts a bit more, and he did react to this information exactly how Ro wanted him to. So it's a pretty decent read.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jed still is somewhat of a level-headed player. Like, I think, you know, overall, like, if he hears that someone's coming up after him, like, he heard Josh is coming after him, you know, he doesn't really take that personally and is like, okay, now we got to take out Josh, you know? He's still kind of level-headed, but yeah, like you were saying, as opposed to Ty, he is more emotional, but I think Jed is still, you know, he's able to kind of assess his emotion between, like, his game logic.
Yep. So Tara's going to talk with Tina, and Tara says, so just to reset you on where Tara's at, because she's playing in a different kind of world right now. She's starting to approach reality, but she's still in a different place. She feels like, hey, this alliance that Ro and Kyle pitched is a real thing. It's Ro, Kyle, me, Tina. She probably still thinks that Toya's involved to some degree, and the plan is to approach Kiefer and try to get him in. So Tara's going to Tina and saying, I don't know if we can trust Kiefer. I think he might be with the guys. Did you hear how hard they were cheering for him in the veto? I don't know. And Tina's like, that's a good point. That's a good point. And they came right up to him right after the veto. Maybe we can't trust Kiefer. That's a good idea. And you know what else? I'm honestly not sure how much we can trust Kyle, to be honest. I just heard that he approached Jed and Ty with a guy's thing. And Tara was like, whoa, who told you that? And Tina's just like, oh, I did not prepare for this.
She does a great job this entire conversation. Tina's just like, oh yeah,
who was it?
I spoke to like three people this morning. I don't remember.
let me think about that. And then she comes around to like, but point is though that we should keep an eye on Kyle. And Tara's like, yeah, we'll keep an eye on Kyle.
Yeah, they say, like, you know, Tara's like, if Kyle is teamed with the guys, then he'd probably be more on the bottom of it than, you know, all the other guys. But they can't trust him. I just think that Tina's doing a fantastic job with this. I mean, with that particular interaction, maybe it wasn't the greatest, but Tina.
Everyone slips up here and there.
Yeah, exactly. I think Tina's doing a great job of, you know, really trying to. I think she's doing a great job with Tara, trying to, you know, get her to trust her and believe her. And I think Tina's also juggling these both alliances extremely well, where she's set up so well that, you know, if Kyle and Rowan do win an HOH next week, she's 100% safe. And obviously, if, you know, the Sunsetters win HOH next week, she's safe. So I think she doesn't really need to really, you know, put her foot on the gas that hard in the beginning of the game, but she just has like a lot of places where she can go in case anyone wins HOH.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people saying that, like, oh well, thank God for the teams, at least for the one thing that they did, which is they protected Tina in the first week. Surely without the teams, Tina would have been an easy target. She would have been gone the first. I don't think so, guys. I think that is insulting to Tina, who has been playing the best game that we've seen so far, I think, in the house. Like, to say, like, oh man, thankfully the twist saved the best player in the house from being the first boot. Like, I don't know about that. I don't think Tina would have been the first boot.
Yeah. Also, Tina, respect to Tina, because Tina is like way older than the rest of the house guests. You know, later on, we're going to see Josh talk about, I might be like speaking ahead, but this fits in with everything where Josh is talking about how like, oh, like the game is like set up against me and because the house guests are all so much older than me. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think that Tina's just like above and ahead of the rest of the pack, even though she's way older than everyone else. Like, you know, it's harder to integrate, but she's doing such a great job of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So Victoria is going to talk with Toya, and this is going to be out near the hot tub. And this is going to be a continuation of when Victoria queued up. I was like, hey, just so you know, I would like to have a 4-person alliance with you, Ty and Jed. Talk later. This is the talk later. Victoria mentions that, hey, I'm so glad we had a chance to talk. I would love to work with you, Jed and Ty. I just want to have a crew. I want to be loyal to my crew. I'm not summarizing here. This is her pitch. She goes straight into. So as far as nominations next week, I'm thinking Tara, because I don't like her very much. She just interrupts me all the time. And Brayden. I feel like he's my social competition in the house. So I kind of feel like we fulfill the same sort of spot, you know, in the game. So those are probably the two that I would put up in the game. And Toya's like, oh, okay. Well, while you're telling me things, who would be the third if the veto was used? Victoria's like, oh man, I hadn't thought of that. Let me see. Maybe Austin. And at this point, I'm like. Is she for real or is she playing Toya? It feels like she's playing Toya. But it's hard to tell because I haven't gotten a lot of like legitimate game stuff from Victoria.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point that she might be playing LaToya. I just thought, you know, I love Victoria, but I think she's just obviously everyone's new at Big Brother. And I think she just doesn't know how to play Big Brother yet. And, you know, just because you say like, oh, yeah, we're in an alliance now. I'll just spit out all the stuff that I want to talk about. But it wouldn't make sense that she would want to take out Brayden or even like mention Brayden because, you know, I feel like her and Brayden are kind of good at this point. I don't see why she would say that. I just think that Victoria just doesn't fully know how to play Big Brother yet. And maybe it's something that she'll learn, but I think this is great for LaToya. And I think LaToya is someone who, you know, like you guys have always said in the days before about how, you know, she's not great at faking it, but here, I think LaToya is doing a good job of like maintaining this like little relationship with Victoria and the off chance that Victoria wins something in the next couple of weeks or Victoria has power or, you know, let's say Jed and Ty decide to, you know, break off from LaToya. I think LaToya has another ally in the pocket she can use for later. So I think this is good for her. But yeah, for Victoria, I'm not really sure what she's doing here.
Yeah, well, Toya responds with, well, I wouldn't put you up, Victoria. That's the information I'm giving you. And then she goes straight to stressing the importance of how, you know, I would also never, ever let anything you told me get out. I would never say anything that I would always keep that close. I would never say a word about it's very important. I would never do that. And you would never do that to me, right? Because this is the reason I don't want to align with you is because you talk too much. Are you going to expose things? And Victoria's like, oh, that's great. Thank you so much. And she was like, yeah, I would never do that. And Victoria's like, yeah, I would never do that to you either. So there you go.
Also, later in this conversation, LaToya brings up Kyle and she talks about how like Kyle or wait, yeah. She talks about how like Kyle just like never talks any game with her at all, and so Toya says like Kyle never really talks that much, but he's listening a lot. So you have to really watch out for someone like Kyle because Kyle's someone who they might take out at a later date.
Yeah, you know, yesterday on the update, I talked about how Tashawn had you know told people that he can be friendly with people without actually liking them and that he's like good at withholding information and how those are kinds of things that people remember later on in the game. Kyle did something similar when he made his pitch to Toya earlier a few days ago. He said to Toya like, hey, I've been listening. I've been watching. This is what I'm good at. I can see what's happening in this game. I don't talk much, but I can see it. I can read people, and I have been reading that these people are in an alliance and they're running the game. And ever since then, Toya has been all about, like, Kyle is dangerous. He doesn't talk, but he listens. And so she's been using that against him for a bit here. she also asks Vic if she's feeling bad about anybody else in the game. If you're going to continue to give me information, let's see if I can dig for any more. Vic says she likes Kiefer, but she was a little weirded out when he said he wouldn't use the veto on himself. Like, why do you feel so comfortable? And Toya's just like, well, I'm sure he was, you know, joking. I mean, I don't think he would have actually not used the veto on himself, right? I mean, that's not like a big deal. You don't need to feel weird about Kiefer.
I mean, I think it's okay, but I would just, you know, go along with Victoria. Just kind of throw Kiefer under the bus a little, because what's Kiefer going to do at the end of the day? Like, Kiefer doesn't have that much power in the house. Like, yeah, he has the POV-itis, but, you know, at the end, like, he's not really doing that much. So I think it's okay if you throw Kiefer under the bus a little bit, but I guess he made the right move to not.
Yeah. All right. So that was Vic and Toya. Josh is going to talk to the cameras about a plan.
Big plan.
Yeah, they have a plan. And the plan is that he wants to try and claim that Rohan wanted Jed on the block, wanted Jed out, backdoored. And that's what he would have done if he won the HOH. Now, this is a funny plan because Ro beat him to that punch yesterday. Second part of the plan: expose Austin's role in the day three scandal. I love that he calls it a scandal.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's much ado about nothing or something. Like, you know, it's like, is it really a scandal? I don't know. But I respect that Josh is trying to do something. It's better that he's just like laying down and dying. I don't know. He also talks about how, like, in his master plan, he says, like, oh, I'm going to offer that I can be a pawn.
Yes,
in the
part
future.
Three. I'm a pawn.
That's not good, Josh. That can't be, you know, the hill you're going to die on there, buddy, because if you offer that and they decide to take it on, you have no more power in the house and you're just not going to gain the respect of anyone else. And I don't think that's the way to really stay. If you want to stay, you have to, you know, prove yourself as somewhat of a power player or do something. But if offering yourself like, hey, listen, just put me up every week, I'm going to just lay down and die for you. I don't think anyone's going to buy that. I mean, he's tried that and I don't think anyone really cares. And everyone knows, like, you know, we could just put Josh up next week, but we don't even need that. We could just put someone else up. Like, it doesn't matter. So I think Josh's whole plan is not going to really work out, but it's better than doing nothing.
Well, hey, part four.
Okay. Sorry.
Make it clear that his target is Austin. Going after Austin. And I actually feel like this is the best part of the plan. Yeah. I mean, it's still not really going to do much, but Austin is somebody that is just the right kind of target, because she has people, but none of them will really go out of their way to protect her. And if people are going after her, then that's kind of great for them. I think that this is the best part of the plan, but I think honestly, the other parts of it might ruin it.
Yeah, the role plan, the first one is probably the worst one, just because, you know, he has no shot for that. I think the Austin plan could work, but I also don't think anyone's going to really stand on the sidelines and watch like the all-time Big Brother feud between Josh and Austin, the two biggest power players the game has ever seen. And now we're all going to just cower and hide. But while these two, you know, titans of the game really battle, I mean, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I don't think anyone's going to really care if Josh and Austin are feuding for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. So Ro, Tara, and Tina are going to have a brief conversation in the kitchen. Ro says that he thinks they'll be in a great spot if he stays this week, that their alliance is building momentum here. Tara says nobody's going to see the four of us coming. Ro agrees, and Ro talks about trying to maybe reel in, maybe we should look at Vic, maybe we should look at Kiefer still. Tara says, well, watch out, because I think the guys are going to be trying to do that too. And Tina is staying pretty quiet in this particular convo, but she's chiming in at the right moments to sort of like, you know, when people are getting excited, she's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But she's not contributing much to it in this particular conversation.
Yeah. Tina's big thing whenever this conversation is going on, she's like, oh, we have to keep it super secret. Like, you know, don't tell anybody, like, which is great because you're contributing, but also saying like, yo, keep your mouth shut on this, because if anyone else finds out, when I'm done, you know, which is great.
And notably, like, you know, Kiefer has talked about Kyle and Ro to the group. Toya has talked about Kyle and Ro to the group. When Tara says nobody will see the four of us coming, Tina hasn't ratted them out yet. And I think she's very willing to let them go. Lots of people have told Tina that they're going to nominate Kyle and Ro next week. She said herself that she'd nominate Kyle and Ro next week. I don't know if I believe her, but she's not exposing any of that information to either side, because why would you do that?
Yeah, I'm very excited to see, you know, in week three or four, when if all this stuff gets exposed, how Tina is going to be able to, you know, tackle all this and get through all this and get on the other side. OK, because that's something like, she's doing a great job of, you know, setting everything up. But now we're going to get to see if she's actually going to be able to pull it off and going to be able to sell, you know, Jed and Ty that, it was never working with them. It was just like they were trying to talk to me. And the same thing between Kyle and Rowan. It's going to be very exciting to see.
Yeah. And I mentioned this last night that, you know, this like Tina is not in the Cody spot where, you know, for Cody, he was in the driver's seat of every single one of the alliances he was in. So no matter what happened with those alliances, with the competitions, who went after who, he could easily transition into the new seat of power. Tina is in the center of the house. She's in a great spot with the whole house, but she's not necessarily in the best spot within the Sunsetters themselves. And so she actually needs to make sure that the Sunsetters don't steamroll all the way down, because that could be dangerous for her. Now, that said, I don't think it's immensely dangerous for her, because she does still have Toya and Beth. And at the very least, that means that she's got like three of six to some degree. But it's still not the best place in the world for her. So we're kind of looking at a situation where she will need to manage some things in the future if she wants to take the best path forward. And that means that, like, hey, Kyle and Ro might take a shot at Ty and Jed. That's kind of what she needs to have happen at some point. She doesn't want Kyle and Ro to end up on the block next week and like they go home and then they just get crushed week after week, because then all of that advantage that she worked so hard to build up is just wasted. Right. So there's definitely, you know, a path here that leads to a lot of entertainment and a lot of work for Tina.
Yeah, it'll work best if, you know, like the alliance is ping pong between HOHs. And I also think it would be very great for Tina if she had like a very strong number one, which I think like she has people who are close. She's close with, but I don't know if she has that very, very 100% like number one final two. You know what I mean? And I think that having that person by your side, helping you go between these alliances, will really, really, really just help your game moving forward. Well, yeah. I think she's kind of wading through the waters alone.
And that is interesting, too, because Tina, there are a lot of people that consider Tina to be their number. Tara considers Tina to be her number one. Toya considers Tina to be her number one. And Beth, to some degree, I don't know that Beth considers Tina to be her number one necessarily, but based on her camera talk the day before, at the very least, she sees Tina as like her person in the six, like her key to winning the game, and the person that she wants to bring to the final two. So like, that's great. And then she also has like other people who all like Kyle and Ro like her a lot. You know, Kiefer is a big fan of Tina, not like the closest person to Tina, but still a big fan of Tina. Like, she has a lot of connections, probably more than anyone else in terms of people who consider her to be their number one. But she doesn't seem to have a single person that she's able to completely confide in and plan with. You know, Tara she's tight with, but she's blind to the Sunsetters. She's withheld a lot of information. Toya seemed like that person, but I think that Tina has backed away just a little bit because she's recognized how team focused Toya is. But Toya still seems to be the person she wants to confide in most. It's just, I think they have a slightly different philosophy when it comes to the game. And then obviously she doesn't trust Beth much at all. So she really doesn't have that confidant that a lot of players in this position do. And that will also, I agree, make things a bit more difficult for her until she is able to find somebody.
Yeah. Yesterday, you guys were, you know, very aptly calling her like similar to like someone like a Derek. I was kind of viewing her as someone kind of like a Danielle Reyes, who also kind of navigated these, you know, the game like this. But I think she needs her Jason. Mm-hmm. That's the number one thing. She needs someone who she can really confide in. But I'm excited to see her moving forward.
Yeah. All right. So, Kyle is going to talk with Austin, I mentioned this conversation not because it was necessarily strategically relevant, but I thought it was a good example of what I think is blocking Kyle and Roe from working with Brayden and Austin. Kyle is trying to sort of make a bond with Austin. Remember, just earlier he was talking about with Roe, like, hey, we should approach Austin and Brayden. Roe does talk with Brayden. They've always bonded well. There's no sort of like block there. But Kyle's approach to Austin is a very, very flirtatious one. And I think that's a mistake because Austin shuts down flirtation. She is not into it. I think this is like just my read on Kyle is that this is how he thinks is the best way to interact with a young, pretty woman, right? Like, I'll just turn the charm on and then we'll have an alliance. And so he's really putting the flirt on as much as he can. He's talking all about his Big Brother camping experiences. So Kyle's actually a Big Brother fan and has organized these big camping trips where they play Big Brother and they vote each other out and there's a winner and everything. And he likes to tell stories about them, about like, oh, and I don't know why. It's again, like Kyle really egregiously bad at this sort of thing where he tells people like threatening things about himself. Like, oh yeah, there's this one time, like my buddy was, he was given a speech about like pretending to have a power. And then we all agreed to flip the vote on him. And then he was like, oh, my friend Kyle flipped on me. And it was so funny. Like, oh, it was so funny when that happened, when I did that to him. Like, what are you doing? You're in a game. You're in the exact same game where you don't want people to think that you're going to flip on them, man.
Yeah, I mean, and for Kyle also, it's so easy for him, like just the way he looks, like it'd be so easy for him to just not say any of this stuff. Like if they could see, look at him as a recruit and just like some bro, and everyone would just kind of believe it if Kyle said that. But I don't know why he's going into, you know, all the fake games he played before. Like he doesn't need to do any of this. You know, there's no need for this. Kyle, you look at you. You're good, man. Come on. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone or anything like that.
Yeah. And he keeps inviting her to come to Big Brother camping after. He's like, after this, you're coming to Big Brother camping. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. And she's like, I don't know. I don't really. I mean, you know, I'm sure we're all going to visit each other. We'll all be traveling, you know, at some point. So he's like, oh, yeah, but yeah, you got to come. You got to come to Big Brother camping. And she very clearly is not interested in Big Brother camping. And he does not. He either is not seeing it or he really feels like he'll be able to, you know, get through or something. But there's a big disconnect here, and it's a big failure in terms of trying to connect. And I wonder what that means for the idea of Kyle and Roe trying to approach Austin and Brayden.
Yeah, I think like you were saying, I think that's kind of just how Kyle has to see, like that's how he strategizes, and that especially with like younger women. Like I think that's kind of how he thinks, like, all right, I'm gonna just, you know, do my thing. I'm Kyle, look at me, I'm good. But I think like he thinks he has it locked in, but I'm not sure. I mean, he definitely doesn't have it locked in, but I think it's still kind of funny to watch. Yeah.
All right, so Beth and Ty are gonna spend some time together. They are gonna make a study guide And it's a bit of a strange one. I can't say that I'm impressed because it just seems too messy. But basically, they're taking a Q-tip and they're putting mustard on it. And then they're using the Q-tip with mustard on it to write on the side, the inside of an egg carton. And so every egg hole is a day. And then they're trying to count how many things happened in that day in the bottom of each hole to sort of like have some sort of study guide. And part of the reason I think this is a little silly is that, first of all, like there's only so many holes in the egg carton. You're going to run out very quickly. Second, like mustard is very messy. She already got a spot on the bed. And they're like, how are we going to explain this? Third, writing with mustard on a Q-tip, I couldn't see the numbers, but it seems like you're not really going to see, like, it's not like it's a pen. Like, are you really seeing what the numbers even are? Is there even a point to it at that point? Like, do you even need to number them? Can you just, like, mark this is the beginning and this is the end and then just count in the egg carton? Like the numbers don't even seem to matter that much.
No, Taryn, you're not. It's like a quill. You know, you dip it into the mustard. You're like, on the fourth day, kefir one. You know, yeah, that's I think that they're just writing it down. It's fine. No, I don't. Maybe they could just get another carton. I don't know. I also think maybe they should have asked Kevin Martin how he studied before the season. They should have figured something out because, yeah, the egg carton thing is not exactly the best plan. I'm trying to figure out a way they could cover up for the mustard. Maybe they'll say, like, they got Wendy's or something like that. Oh, I spilled my Wendy's on the bed. I'm not sure. But, yeah. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And an interesting bit here as well, you know, assuming there is even a little bit of, like, rivalry going on between Jed and Ty. Ty does bring up that, like, hey, and Beth is talking about it too. Like, Jed is smart. Jed remembers this stuff. Now, if you recall in Jed's bio, he mentioned that he wants to intentionally flop in the memory comps in the early game because he doesn't want people to know how good he is at memory stuff. But of course, he has already kind of messed this up because he has made it pretty clear to everyone that he has a great memory. He remembers everyone's birthday. He remembers all of these other things. And these are things that Ty and Beth are talking about. He's got a great memory. He's going to kill this stuff. We're the ones that need this, like, remedial help. But he's going to kill this stuff. So we have to watch out for that. Jed has not done the best job in the world at hiding his memory prowess.
Yeah, Taryn, do you think that, I mean, at this point, Jed and Ty definitely have a final two, but, and that's what they say to each other, but do you think in each other's heads that they actually know I'm taking this dude to the final two, or do they think, like, you know, final five, final six, or whatever, I'm going to clip this dude? Like, do you have any idea?
Well, here's the thing. We are now, you know, what, like 4 or 5 days into watching the live feeds, and I have seen a total of maybe 10 minutes of Ty and Jed talking to each other alone. There's a lot of talk of Ty and Jed. There's a lot of assumption that they're working. We saw the episode where they, you know, made their initial alliance. We're assuming that they're working in tandem, but they have not coordinated at all. They have not once by themselves talked about the potential row flip. Ty is still trying to push it a little bit. He's run into a lot of resistance and it seems like he's starting to give up. But Jed is completely on a separate page and is going in the complete opposite direction. Never checked in with Ty about it. Ty has never checked in with Jed about it. The only time I've seen them talk alone, they've just kind of been joking around. They did not, like, it was not like, we're alone. Oh, we're doing this. We're doing this. We're playing everyone. Oh, what's the plan? It was, they were just casually kind of joking about, you know, stuff in the house. I think it's very possible that these two are not working as closely as we have been assuming, and that they are not as focused on, like, being a duo as even the people in the House assume. I think they are great friends. I think they will be working together for a long time. But this does not seem like a super strategic pairing as much as it does just kind of like a friend pairing as of right now.
Yeah, I feel like this is also something that happens a lot in Big Brother where, you know, you say we can't be seen together. We're not going to be able to spend that much time together. So we got to break apart. But when you break apart, you know, you don't spend that time with that person. So you kind of, you know, you kind of forget about them and you move on to like, oh, who's, well, I'm talking to Beth. Well, I'm talking to, you know, whoever. And so you kind of forget about, oh, wait, I had this deal I made with this person on the first day. Now, you know, I've moved on. And you're right. It is only the first week and we've only seen, what, 5 days of feed. So it is possible that, you know, maybe this alliance that they made in the first day might not actually come to fruition as, I mean, as of right now, just yeah, because, you know, they haven't seen each other that much.
Yeah. And so like when it comes to Endgame, I don't know what it means. I mean, obviously there's a lot of time. I just like, I don't think they're locked in. I don't think they'll betray each other anytime soon, but they are like, as a, it's not working like as a duo that you'd expect, you know, them to be working as sort of like, you know, I'm trying to find a comparison, but it's really, it's actually difficult. Like, I was like, maybe like Cody and Tyler, but even then, like they talk strategy a lot. They were working together to a decent degree. And I haven't seen any of that yet from Ty and Jed. I expect we will, but this is, you know, this is not Chilltown. They're not like, scheming together about what they're doing, at least so far.
Yeah, you know, maybe we'll hit a point where like a big hardship will have to like put them back together or something like that. But as of right now, like they're doing fine. They're kind of coasting. They don't really need to, you know, set up anything or do anything. So yeah, I think they're chilling, but we'll see how it works out for them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Beth and Ty, they are making this study guide, and Vic comes in. Sorry, I didn't want to disturb, because they had to like hide the egg carton and then be like, and Vic is like, oh, I didn't want to interrupt. I want you guys to showmance, so let me just, I can leave. And they're just kind of like, oh, and she's like, no, but seriously, I've wanted you guys to showmance since the beginning. You're both so cute. I think it would be such a great showmance. And they're not even like, oh, you, they're kind of like, they're kind of giggly about it. And it seems like this is moving forward, in my opinion. It feels like it's moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is, right? I'm trying to, because I 100% think they're, and especially because everyone else is trying to egg them on. Like,
yeah, later in the night, it's going to get even more eggy. and then. And then some eggs might have gotten broken last night. I'm not sure. So,
yeah. And I think if everyone else kind of is pushing that, like Victoria was, like, then they're probably like, yeah, why not? Like, this is going to happen. Like, you're cute. All right, let's kiss, or I don't know.
yeah. All right. So, finally, there's a conversation between Beth and Tina, where, Beth is kind of checking in with Tina. She's talking about who she would put up if she won HOH. This is a big topic for Beth. She's been very worried about it, like all week long, basically. She's like, who do I put up? The stupid Teams thing stays in place. And who do I put up that doesn't expose me? And she's kind of come down to, like, I think I'd have to do Kiefer and Roe. And we'd have to use Kiefer as a pawn, but that would be fine. And we'd just have to take out Roe. But we can't take out Roe now. We can't flip this vote. It's too early. And Tina's like, I agree. I completely agree. I felt like it was wrong from the second I heard it. And I felt like it was wrong that, like, it was even, you know, it even got to the point that it did without like a full discussion. Like, I feel like, you know, they, like, I wasn't even included in that discussion. And they talk some more. And after Tina leaves, Beth says to the cameras, like, Tina is wonderful. She's amazing. I love her. You know, if Jed, Ty, and Toya think they're going to run this show, I'm going to have something to say about it, because Tina is worth every bit as much as them in this alliance.
I'm not letting any of those guys call the shots.
Yeah.
Not Jed, not Ty, not Toya. Yeah, no, like no one like, you know, it's me and Tina. What I think is great. I think it shows how great Tina is and at, you know, reassuring her and, you know, massaging her and, you know, making sure that she's good and, you know, making her feel like an important part of the alliance. Cause like, again, like, you know, Jed says like, I'm the one who brought you in. So it makes maybe Beth feel like a sixth wheel or something like that. But Tina being a great ally to Beth really makes her feel as like a cohesive part of the alliance, as opposed to just like the random sixth wheel they had to bring on, which I think is great.
Yeah. And it's actually a little bit funny because Beth is going to go talk to Jed and Jed, this is when they sort of bring up the, oh, he brought her in, the conversation again. But she also mentions like, hey, you got to talk more with Tina. It's like, what? I did talk to Tina. And it's like Tina did so well at like convincing Beth that like, of like, hey, I need to be heard. And I want you to be the person that hears me, that Beth is actually standing up for Tina, which I think Tina might actually be like, oh, actually don't say anything though. Like, I don't want him to know that was a you thing. That was to manipulate you. You're too good a person. Stop it.
Yeah. I think this is also like, yeah, Jed is just like, I talked to her for 30 minutes yesterday, like, oh, today, like, come on, like, what else does she need? 30 minutes is good. And I think this shows like a kind of a blind spot that Jed might have, just of like, if you have an alliance, you need to be able to check in on everyone and make sure that everyone is good, even if you don't talk to them, you know, as often. And I think Jed is might be, you know, fumbling the ball on this one. I think Jed, this is something that Jed might have to work on moving forward, of making sure that everyone in his alliance is good and that they trust him and that he's telling them what they need to know and that they feel reassured. And I think this is good, could be a good wake-up call for Jed moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically the day. You know, they're gonna mess around with each other at night again, more showman's talk, Beth and Ty. I even saw some people saying they felt like there was a little bit of movement happening last night with Beth and Ty. You know, but look, if there was, I'm sure we'll figure it out. This is not something the Twitter I'm gonna people go and investigate and watch.
We'll find it. Something else that I saw like right before that conversation is like Ty, Jed, and Kyle. They were by the hot tub right before this Beth conversation. And they were talking about like Josh, and they were talking about Josh's plans to blow up the house, which I think is interesting that, you know, but they said like, you know, they know like, you know, we're just not going to listen to Josh. Like if Josh says something, just ignore it. Like it doesn't. Josh is not really a factor. Like it doesn't matter, which I think shows like Josh is out the door. Josh doesn't really have that much of a shot, especially if they know his master plan already. Yeah.
They've all completely anticipated it. Like they're like, oh, he's probably going to come up with some kind of lie about somebody going after somebody. He's definitely going to call out Austin. They know this. I think he must have told somebody. And we're just not going to listen to him. It's just going to be Josh being Josh.
Yeah. And even Tara Latoya and Tina had that exact same conversation right earlier where they're also like, Josh is also going to, he's going to try this, you know, save me, you know, everyone knows Josh is trying something, but just ignore it. Let's move on to next week. Josh is out. He's done. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you wanted to bring up?
No. Yeah. I think we basically covered everything. It's sad to see Josh in this position. I was really looking forward to, I mean, anything could happen, you know, you never know, but I also just, it's sad to see Josh in this position. And you know, I hope people aren't too cruel to him. You know, we saw all that stuff happen in the days earlier, but we're probably going to see someone come back into the game, I'm guessing. So it'd be funny to see Josh play the game. But as opposed to anything that happened on the feeds, I think we mostly covered and basically covered all the important stuff that we needed to cover.
So, yeah. I skipped most of the Josh conversations. He's he talks with Kiefer and Tara, but not really going anywhere. there was a big ball fight as well that in the ball pit. Happened.
Love the ball pit. Yeah. It's great.
All right. That's what we have for you today. I will be back later tonight for the first roundtable of the season. The Stockwatch will begin. And I will get the survey worked up here for you guys. If you find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren, I will tweet out the survey where you can rate the players based on how well you think they are doing in the game right now. And there are usually some other extra questions if you have other opinions on the season so far. Make sure you find that and fill it out if you want to take part. And then later tonight, as I said, Stockwatch will begin. The market will open. And if you want to take part in the Stockwatch, you can sign up there, realitystockwatch.com, and you know, start buying and selling tonight. So check all of that out. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Phil, where can people find you?
Yes, you can follow me on twitter.com/listenupphillip, where I'm tweeting sometimes. Well, maybe I'll start tweeting about Big Brother soon. I don't know. But I'm also on letterboxd.com, where I'm reviewing TV and movies. You can follow me at PNTJR. That's letterboxd.com/PNTJR. I just watched WandaVision. Wasn't for me. I'm sorry, guys. You kill me. I don't know. But I'm reviewing all that kind of stuff, and you can check me out there as well. Yeah.
There you go. If you wanna, you know, start pitchforking Phil for not liking WandaVision, that's where you can find him to do so. So that's where you have for you. I'll of course be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. Tomorrow night as well, we will have our Wednesday night episode recap. So plenty of stuff coming your way. Thank you so much for joining us. See you next time.